In the light of hadith, 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 in the light of hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله we are again in our beautiful silsila in the light of hadith the hadith about we were discussing that was Hadith-e-Ihsan and Hadith-e-Iman which is called Hadith-e-Jibrail as well. Some of the matters were covered in our previous programs and two matters are remaining. So inshallah in our today's silsila we will discuss those two matters. So first I recite that particular portion of Hadith about which we have to discuss. Hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And question was Sayyidina Jibrail Amin alayhi salatu wassalam. Jibrail Amin alayhi salatu wassalam asked five questions. First was about the meaning of Islam. The second was about the definition of Iman. And the third was about Ihsan. The fourth was about the time of Qiyamah. And the fifth was about the signs of Qiyamah. The question of Islam and Iman have been discussed and that have been discussed in detail. And today we will discuss the meaning of Ihsan and then the time of Qiyamah and then the signs of Qiyamah. So first I'll recite that particular portion. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that the stranger, the traveler who came in the holy court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked question. His third question was, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ قَالَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قَالَ مَا الْمَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَتِهَا قَالَ أَن تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاةَ الْعُرَاةَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُرِيشَانِ قَالَ ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ فَلَبِثْتُ مَلِيشًا ثُمَّ قَالَ لِي يَا عُمَرُ أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلُ قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ عمر فاروق رضي الله تعالى عنه has narrated he the stranger then inquired Tell me about Ihsan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, It is to worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. And if you do not see Him, then at least He sees you. Then again he inquired, Inform me about the hour, the day of resurrection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I have no more knowledge thereof than you. He asked, inform me about some of its signs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are that a bondswoman gives birth to her own master and that you will find the barefooted, naked, four shepherd competing one another in construction of higher buildings. Then he departed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I replied, Allah and his Messenger know better. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was Jibreel. He came to you to teach you your religion. This was the hadith. This was half of the hadith. In our previous episode, we discussed the meaning of Islam and the definition of Iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined the meaning of Iman and Ihsan. Now, the meaning of Ihsan. The words which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned here are very beautiful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُن تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah. And if you can't do that imagination, if you can't do that, means you can't see Allah Azza wa Jal, that at least you know and believe that Almighty Allah is seeing you. That is the meaning of Ihsan. The word Ihsan is from Husn. Husn means beauty. And Ihsan means beautification. To beautify something. To beautify your worship. To beautify your deeds. To beautify your actions. To beautify your manners and morals. To beautify your life. Whatever you do, that should be beautiful. There should be the beauty of Iman and Islam, and there should be the beauty of believing in Allah Azza wa Jal in that. That is the meaning of Ihsan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a very beautiful way, that is in one way, a kind of example. As a person is doing something and his master is watching him. He is doing his job and his master is observing him. Now, you can imagine the time when a servant knows his master is watching him and his master is watching him, so that time he will do that act perfectly, without any laziness, without any negligence, without any shortcoming, and without any defect and fault, when his master is observing him. And if master is not there, he is absent from there, so that time a person can show negligence and he can show laziness and he can do some shortcoming in his action. Why? Because his master is not seeing him, his master is not observing, he is not there. So by the same token, when a person is doing something, when we are offering prayer or we are doing any good deed, and that time we have belief that Almighty Allah is seeing us, so that time the action would be perfect. The action would be at its high level. Why? Because when that meditation is in our heart, and then when that belief is in our heart that Almighty Allah is seeing us, that time we will try our best to conduct that action, to purify that action, to beautify that action, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is seeing us. But the first thing that you, if antamud Allah ka anna ka tarah, you should worship Allah as you are seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you can't do that, as it is not possible for common men, for common people, so at least believe that Almighty Allah is seeing you. And that is the belief of every Muslim. We believe. Wallahu shaheedun ala ma ta'amalu. Almighty Allah, observe what you do, what we do. And He knows whatever we do, what will we do. So Almighty Allah knows everything. So when we have that belief in our heart, and that is present in our heart, that is apparently present in our heart, that time our actions get very, very perfect and very, very good and very, very beautiful. Then this matter, you worship Allah as if you are seeing Him, that's not only the matter of worship, means only offering prayer or doing other worships. This is about every matter. Whatever we do as a Muslim, we believe that Almighty Allah is seeing us. Wallahu shaheedun ala ma ta'amalu. Wallahu alimum bima yaf'alu. There are many ayat, there are many verses of the Holy Quran which explain this matter very beautifully, that Almighty Allah is observing us, He is seeing us, every of our deed is in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is our belief as a Muslim. So this matter in Hadith, the word is antahud Allah ka anna tarah. But the meaning is very vast, that whatever you do, you should consider and you should believe that Almighty Allah is seeing you. So now, though we are doing our worldly matters, our worldly deeds, but at that time, we should be very careful about those matters, whether they are in accordance with Sharia or not. If we are not earning halal, and we are ma'adallah earning unlawful money, so Almighty Allah is seeing us. When we are ma'adallah abusing someone, Almighty Allah is hearing us. When we are observing something, we are watching someone, so what we are watching, we know, and Allah knows better. Because كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. So when that belief gets stuck with our mind and that remains in our mind forever, then we rectify ourselves, we correct our deeds, we correct our actions. And when we do worship in that way, in such a way, when we do worship, so then that would be the prayer and that would be the worship which will forbid us from immodesty and evil things. As Almighty Allah has said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنَهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, prayer forbids from immodesty and evil things. We offer prayer, the people offer prayer, but they are not prevented. And they don't abstain from immodesty. They don't refrain from immodesty and evil deeds. Why? Because their prayer is not in that way in which they should be. أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. You should worship your Lord as if you are seeing Him. And that's why our pious predecessor, Salaf Salihin, when they would offer prayer, when they would worship, so their belief and their style of worship, their method of worship was totally different from us. As about Sayyidina Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and even about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of prayer, the beauty of worship, the beauty of their standing in the court of Allah, how was that? Hadrat Hadim Asam rahmatullah alayhi was asked once that how do you offer prayer? How do you offer prayer? So he answered, when I recite takbir, Allahu Akbar, so I consider that Kaaba, Baitullah, the house of Allah, is in front of me. And I am on the bridge of Sirat. And paradise is on my right hand. And hell is on my left hand. And this is the last prayer of my life. Then I say Allahu Akbar. So consider, imagine. When someone offers prayer in that way, with that imagination, and with that belief that Baitullah is in front of him and he is on the bridge of Sirat and paradise is on his right side and the hell is on his left side, and this is the last prayer of his life. So what kind of prayer he would offer that time, and how beautiful that prayer would be, and how perfect that salat would be. So if we offer prayer in such a way, then we can beautify our prayer. Then our prayers would be أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَكَ أَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Then the prayer of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So his observers who narrate the prayer of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they mention that when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu started offering prayer, so he stood up as There is a tree rooted in the land. No movement is there. Sometimes bird sat on his head, considering that it is a tree, not it's a human being. That was the method, and that was the method of prayer of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. So that is the beauty of Islam, really. Ihsan means to beautify your worships. So because beauty is needed in our worships, in our prayers, in our fastings, in our hajj, in our all deeds, in the recitation of Quran, in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, so beauty is needed and beauty is required and demanded. And that is the meaning of tasawwuf, basically. That is the meaning of tasawwuf. Sometimes some people say the word tasawwuf is not in Quran, the word tasawwuf is not in hadith. So basically, what is tasawwuf? Tasawwuf is ihsan. Tasawwuf is basically in the meaning of ihsan. So that is only a terminology. And there is no restriction in establishing any kind of terminology. We can make a terminology, we can set a terminology for something, as in our different languages, we have some different names for our worships as for fasting. In Arabic, that is Saum, but in English, that is fasting. For prayer, the word is Salah. In Arabic, the word is Salah, but in English, the word is prayer. So the prayer is not the perfect meaning of Salah. Basically, prayer is a particular thing, and Salah has vast meaning. Similarly, fasting and observing Saum. So there is a difference, but that is a terminology. We can make some terminology. So there is no restriction and there is no prohibition from Sharia. So similarly, the word tasawwuf is not in the Quran. The word tasawwuf is not in Hadith. But the word ihsan is in Quran. The word ihsan is in Hadith, in Quran. The word ihsan is in Quran as well. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsini. So what is that muhsini? Muhsini is from ihsan. Then there are many other ayah in which the word muhsini have been mentioned. Hal jazaul ihsani illa al-ihsan. The word ihsan is there. Hal jazaul ihsan. So the word ihsan and muhsinin, so these words are in Quran. Then the other words as khashi'in, as raghbat, as rahbat. So there are many other words which are in Quran and Hadith. So that could be used. As the word ishq, the ishq word is not in Quran. The word hub and mahabba, that is in Quran and Hadith. But because the ishq is in the meaning of mahabba, that is an extensive love, which is called ishq. So that's why there is no prohibition in using the word ishq. So similarly, the word of tasawwuf is not in Quran and Hadith, but because the meaning of tasawwuf is in Quran and Hadith, to beautify your worships. What is in tasawwuf? When we read the books of tasawwuf, as Hiyal Ulum, as Kima Sa'adat, and many other books of our Muhaddisin and Mufassirin and Sufi Ikram, Allama Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah, he is not considered a Sufi person. He was a Muhaddis, he was a Mufassir, and he was an orator, but he wrote many books in tasawwuf. He wrote many books regarding tasawwuf. And similarly, many other scholars, they wrote many books about tasawwuf. As Kitab al-Zuhd by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, then Kitab al-Zuhd by Abdullah bin Mubarak, both are muhaddisin. Abdullah bin Mubarak and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, both are muhaddisin. But their books is Kitab al-Zuhd. What is that Zuhd? That Zuhd is tasawwuf. So that's why there is no prohibition in using and mentioning the word of tasawwuf. Basically, what is tasawwuf? That is in Quran and Hadith. To beautify your worships, to beautify your deeds, and conduct your worships properly, perfectly, beautifully. That is the meaning of tasawwuf. So this is ihsan which has been mentioned in this Hadith, and that is in the meaning of tasawwuf. Now the next question. Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam asked the second question. فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ السَّاعَةِ قَالَ مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنَهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. Tell me about the day of judgment. As-sa'ah, the hour. The hour is the day of resurrection, the day of qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam answered, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنَهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. That he mentioned, I have no more knowledge hereof than you. Mean the knowledge you have, I have the same knowledge as well. Some people say that in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had described that he doesn't know the time of the day of judgment. But if that is the meaning, so then we would say, if at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not aware of the time of the day of judgment, so then after that, before the demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the departure of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this world, Almighty Allah informed him of the day of judgment, of the time of the day of judgment. How can we say? We can say, and we would say, because of Quran and Hadith. Where is in Quran? Where is in Hadith? So many ayat and hundreds of ahadith. For example, in Quran, Almighty Allah has said, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبِيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء. And we have sent down to you the book in which there is clarification of everything. There is clarification of everything. There is explanation of everything. There is knowledge of everything. تبيانا لكل شيء. Which clarifies, explains everything. What is that? That is Quran. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ. We have revealed on you. We have sent down to you the book, Al-Kitab. تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. What is the quality and what is the beauty and what is the attribute of that book? What is the quality of that book? That book is تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In that book, there is the explanation of everything. Everything has been described in that book. That is the book of Allah. That is the book of Quran. So when Almighty Allah has revealed Quran to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has mentioned all the knowledge, all the sciences in that book, and Almighty Allah has revealed the knowledge and the sciences of Quran on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the day of judgment is also included in kulli shay. The day of judgment is also a shay. There is also a share thing, and that thing and that share is included in this likulli shay. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have revealed on you the book in which there is explanation of everything. In that everything, the day of judgment, the time of the day of judgment is also included. Then there is another ayah. Almighty Allah has stated, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And He has taught you that which you did not know. Almighty Allah, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Almighty Allah has taught you whatever you did not know. So now tell me, if in this hadith, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. In this hadith Jibreel, if it had been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know the time of the day of judgment, if that was meant and that was mentioned in this hadith, so now tell me the meaning of this ayah as well. Wa allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam. And Almighty Allah has taught you whatever you did not know. Whatever. Why whatever? Because Allah azza wa jalla has mentioned the word ma. Ma. What is that ma? Ma is whatever. So whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know, Almighty Allah taught the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that had been mentioned in this ayah. Wa allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam. So Almighty Allah has mentioned and described everything in Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest and the biggest scholar of Quran. He knows everything, whatever Allah azza wa jal told him. And in that knowledge, the time of the day of judgment is also included. And then Almighty Allah taught the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whatever he did not know. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew Qiyamah already, so then the matter is solved. But if he did not know, so then Almighty Allah has mentioned in this ayah, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Whatever you did not know, Almighty Allah has told you. Then the hadith. Once Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up among us, qama fina an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam dhata yawmin fa akhbarana an bada'il khalqi hatta dakhala ahlul jannati manazilahum wa ahlun nari manazilahum. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam started mentioning the beginning of creation. How did this universe take place? How did Almighty Allah create this world? So from the beginning of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started telling about the beginning of creation until when? Hatta dakhala ahlul jannati manazilahum. Until the people of paradise enter into paradise and the people of hell enter into hell. So the people of paradise would enter into paradise after the day of judgment, not before the day of judgment. The day of judgment will take place, then the people would be taken to account, and then they would be commanded to enter into paradise or to enter into hell. So that would be the end of the day of judgment. So until that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in front of Sahaba ikram, so tell me, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not aware of the time of the day of judgment? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had described and informed his Sahaba ikram of the beginning of creation till the time when the people of paradise would enter into paradise and the people of hell would enter into hell. So that specific time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't disclose in front of Sahaba ikram, because he was not allowed to disclose that secret of Allah azza wa jal. But the personality, the prophet, the messenger, the beloved of Allah, who is mentioning and who is describing all these things, so is it possible to think that he was not aware of the time of the day of judgment? So Almighty Allah told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the time of the day of judgment, and this meaning could be derived from these ayat and this hadith. Then there are many other ayat as well, but these a few ayat and hadith is sufficient, I think. Then the next question of Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked, Ya Rasulullah, fa akhbirni an amaratiha, please tell me about the signs of the day of judgment. What would happen before the day of judgment? What would happen before the day of judgment? How would be the time before the day of judgment? What will people do that time? What would be their actions? What would be the environment that time? So what would take place before the day of judgment? So please tell me about that. Tell me about some signs of the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned some of the signs. أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. You'll see that a bondswoman gives birth to her own master. The first sign. The bondswoman gives birth to her own master. The second, that you will find the barefooted, naked four shepherds competing one another in the construction of higher buildings. In the construction of higher buildings. Two things have been mentioned. The first, the mothers will give birth to their own masters. What is the mean? There are two meanings of this hadith, but I'll mention only one. That the people would be disobedient to their parents, particularly regarding their mothers. And antalidal amatu rabbataha, that she will give birth to her own master. Even the daughters would be disobedient to their mothers, though the daughters are mostly, they are obedient. And particularly regarding mothers, the people are very polite and kind, and mostly they are dutiful in the matters of mothers. But before the day of judgment, the time would change. The people would be disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal as well. And it would be the sign of that disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the people would be disobedient to their mothers as well. And they will behave with their mothers as their mothers are their servants, their maids. So they will behave with them in that way. That would be before the day of judgment. And that would be because of lack of knowledge, because of people would be away from Quran and Hadith and the teaching of Islam and the guidance of Islam. So because they would be away from the guidance and teaching of Islam, so they would behave in that way. And that's what in those countries where the people are not the following Quran and Hadith as the non-Muslims. So what is their behavior regarding their parents? What is their behavior regarding their parents? In Islamic environment, so the people are dutiful to their parents. They respect them, they love them, they show their affection towards them, and they do what they can do for their parents. But in non-Muslim environment, what happens? Everyone knows very well. They have old homes. So they put their parents into those old homes. So now that old home management, so they would take care of their parents. and the children, the sons, the daughters, they will occasionally come. Sometimes they would visit, and then they would offer some, they would give some presents, and they would give some flowers, so that would be enough for them. They have fulfilled their duty, they have fulfilled their responsibility towards their parents. But in Islam, what is the commandment of Islam? Everyone knows very well. We have been commanded to be dutiful to our parents. Barram bi walidai wa bil walidaini ihsana. We have to pay our services. We have to provide our services to our parents. That is the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla to us. And that's why, where perfectly Islam is practiced, so in that place, the parents are very happy and satisfied with their lives. Because their children and their sons, their daughters, they are following Islam, and they know the commandment of Islam regarding parents. But before the Day of Judgment, the people would be away from the teachings of Quran and Hadith. So that time, they will do what would be their mentality, what would be their mindset, and they would be disobedient towards their parents, particularly their mothers. Now the second thing, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned here as the sign of Qiyamah, that the people who are Hufat, barefooted, and Hufat al-Urat, Urat, naked-bodied, and Ala, the poor people, and Ri'ashai, shepherd. So means their social status would be very, very low. They would be naked-bodied, they would be barefooted, they would be poor, they would be shepherd, but through some means they would earn a lot of money, and they would be rich, and the time would change. So those average people, those common people, and those uncivilized and uneducated people, so they would be rich, and then they would start competing in the construction of buildings, as we are observing with our own eyes. That really, those people in some countries, as we know very well, in some countries, what is the condition of people? I might be 40 years ago, 50 years ago, so really they were barefooted. They were naked bodied. Half of their body is covered and half of their body is naked. And they were poor. And they were uncivilized people. And still they are uncivilized. Most of them are uncivilized. They were shepherds, just behind the goats and behind the camels and behind the animals and behind these animals, so they were running behind these things only. So they were shepherd. But now, through many means, they have earned a lot of money. So now what are they doing? They are competing with each other in the construction of buildings. The highest building in the world is in my country. So the other person is saying, okay, so now I'll construct the highest building in the world in my country. So now they are competing with each other. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned here, the same thing is happening. Really, the truth of this hadith, really, we are watching and we are observing with our open eyes whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, that has taken place and that is taking place and that will take place in future as well. So we are observing with our own eyes. What is that? Because they earned a lot of money, they got a lot of money, they became rich. But they didn't get knowledge. They didn't get the manners, Islamic manners. How should they spend their wealth? In which way they should spend their wealth? The people in the other countries of the world, they are poor, they are hungry, they are dying of hunger, they are dying of disease, they are dying of many other reasons. And they are needy, they are poor, they are destitute. They don't have cloth to wear, they don't have food to eat, they don't have water to drink, they don't have medicine to get cure. And on the other hand, the people are competing with each other in the construction of buildings. That is an amazing thing in this world nowadays. They are very happy, they are satisfied with their buildings. They are satisfied with the height of their buildings. And they are competing with each other. They're boasting that my building is bigger than you. So that is the condition. But the guidance of Quran and Hadith, the guidance of Islam, the teaching of Islam is not like that. The teaching of Islam is that the more you can feed hungry people, you can provide food to the needy people, the better would be. So you should do that. You should do that. If someone has wealth, so that wealth should be like the wealth of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, like the wealth of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, like the wealth of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. No, they were rich. They were wealthy people. But before that, prior to their wealth, they were generous people. They were the helper of needy and destitute people. They spent their wealth in the path of Allah. They spent their wealth for the poor people to fulfill their needs. That was their first priority. And even their intention prior to collecting that wealth is to get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal through spending their wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. That was their practice, that was their life, because of the company of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and because of the training of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and because of the following the teachings of Quran and Hadith. They know very well, if Almighty Allah has granted us wealth, so He would ask us about that wealth as well on the Day of Judgment. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You must be asked, you must be questioned about ni'mat, about blessings, about the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is upon you. Whatever blessing of Allah, whatever favor of Allah you have, Almighty Allah has bestowed upon you, Almighty Allah will ask about that as well. Inna sama wal basara wal fuada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula thumma la tus'aluna yawma idhin 'anil na'im. And you must be questioned about the favor, about the favors of Allah. So that's why, because those sahaba ikram, those salaf salihin, those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this thing very well. So that's why they spent their wealth in the path of Allah. They didn't spend their wealth only for fulfilling their desires, for fulfilling their wishes, for just wasting ma'adallah that wealth. No, that was not their deed, that was not their action, that was not their life, that was not their character. Their character was so beautiful. They were the embodiment of ihsan. Antabudallahka annaka tara fa illam takun tara fa innahu yaraka. That's why we should think about ourselves as well. If Almighty Allah has granted us wealth and the other bounties and blessings and favors, so then we should be very careful regarding those, that on the day of judgment, Almighty Allah will ask us about the favors, that I have granted you those favors and blessings, what did you do in response? So what would be our answer? We should prepare that answer right now, in this world, in this life. And then in this hadith, the other beautiful point, which is obviously and clearly understood very easily, what is that? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows the matters of unseen. The matters of unseen. He has the knowledge of unseen matters. Because what would happen before the day of judgment, that is a matter of unseen, that is a matter of future. I can't confirm anything regarding future, that it will happen. If I know, so there might be some sources of my information, but with 100% confirmation, I can't tell anything. What will I do myself? I don't know. Because might be, I would get sick before tomorrow, tonight. I would get sick. And I wouldn't be able to do what I mentioned now. So something would happen with me. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of the matters before the day of judgment, which are the matter of unseen, which is the matter of future. So it means Almighty Allah has granted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the knowledge of unseen matters, as in the explanation of in the very episode we are discussing those ayat, wa 'allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam wa nazzalna 'alayka al-kitaba tibyana likulli shay'. And then there are many other ayat, and this hadith is obviously proof of the knowledge of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding unseen matters. May Allah enable us to act upon the teachings of this hadith, and may Allah give us the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
In the light of Hadith. In the light of Hadith. In the light of Hadith. In the light of Hadith.